Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, taking a look at consumer issues today, consumer scams, with our two regular guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen. Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, and Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection, both, with our, of course, with our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade and Consumer Protection. You may have a question, you may have an issue, something that's happened to you. I hope you'll join in. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Sandy Chalmers, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. Great to be here.
And Michelle Reinen, thank you for coming by as well.
Thanks, Larry.
We have so many things to talk about. I think we'll just maybe start with something that came up on the show the other day when we were talking about computers, and many people called in. I was surprised at the number who did call to say that they have been victims of ransomware. And at the time, I said, you know what? We have our experts coming on, so let's talk about it when Sandy and Michelle get here. And Sandy, so can you talk a little bit about sort of what it is and what, if anything, we can do about it?
Sure. Ransomware has been around for several years, and like many scams, it's continually evolving. And even though it's been around, there's been a recent uptick, and enough of an uptick that the FBI has sent out a warning about it, specifically about how the criminals are now targeting businesses and academic institutions because they know there's more money in that than going for one person with a home computer. So ransomware is a type of malicious software that infects computers or networks, and it encrypts files to make them unreadable or unusable. And then the cyber attacker demands a ransom, some kind of payment, to return the files. Sometimes they ask for a credit card payment. Sometimes they ask for payment in bitcoins, you know, which is a new transaction. That it the advantage there is that it's very anonymous and almost impossible to trace back. So probably the best way to protect yourself and your computer is to have a backup of your data, and then once it's backed up, disconnect it from your computer and only plug in the backup disk when you're backing up. And then when you receive emails that are unsolicited and contain links, don't open attachments and don't click links, because that's the most frequent way they're getting access into your computer.
Yeah, and it's as I said, we had several people call the other day with that very problem. So it's too bad. The other one issue that I wanted to bring up right away, because I'm sure people have had this too, and that's the scam with the IRS.
Yeah, Michelle. It's here. It's been here for a while, but it's ramping up as tax day approaches. And what that is that these scammers are calling, they're emailing individuals, indicating that they just need some more details to process the return, or that you have back payments that you need to make. They take different variations of threatening you, so they can get some additional personal information from you. They're going for those bank numbers again, credit cards, if they're using the tactic of you have back payment, pay it now, we won't file suit against you and we can get it all cleared up. If they're trying to just process your return because that piece of information's missing, they're seeking Social Security numbers or maybe a bank account number, because where can we wire the money to? So again, the IRS doesn't call, they don't email. Their first communication with you, if you're going to have contact, is through a letter, and they'll explain the situation, they'll give you contact information, but always look for legitimate IRS contact information to validate any communication that you receive.
We have good advice. We have some callers online with questions. By the way, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Jeannie in Eau Claire up first here. Hi, Jeannie. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have been, over the last 2-3 months, been getting 2-4 times a day calls from a particular number, area code 202, and then it has a partial readout on my caller ID of, I think it's Alabama, but it's ALA. And they call all different times of the day, and at first I would go and answer it. Now I've got caller ID added to my line, and I check before I answer, so I just don't answer that. But is there a way to report these or someplace that we can get that to stop?
Yeah. Is this a cell phone or a landline?
Landline.
Okay. You might check with your telephone carrier and see what they recommend. They usually have a combination of star and then a couple of digits you can use to block a specific number from calling. And 202, I think is Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
area code, and I wonder if it's some kind of political survey calling you.
Oh.
You know, we just had the primary, as everyone knows, so we were getting a lot of those survey calls as well. But that's what I would recommend. See what your telephone carrier would recommend as far as blocking the call.
And those numbers vary depending on the carrier. So,
right,
yeah,
right.
There
okay.
we go. All right, good. Thanks, Jeannie. Appreciate the call. Sue in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi. This is kind of just a general question, but regarding identity theft, if you freeze your credit scores at the big three, are you going to be pretty much, I hate to say guaranteed, but guaranteed not to have identity theft? I mean, how important is this if you really don't need credit?
Freezing your report, your Social Security number that way is one of the best tools we have at hand to combat identity theft. So it's a really positive move. There are other things you can do. That's very proactive. It locks it down. Other things you can do are monitoring, and then you have to react if you see information and deal with it after the fact. So that's one of the best prevention tools there are up front.
Now, the downside...
Yes, go ahead.
I'm just going to say it's a little inconvenient if you do want credit then.
Yeah, and she had indicated, Sue, that you were at a point where you didn't need credit. If you're at if you're at a point in your life where you're going to be getting a new credit card or a car or a mortgage on your home, yeah, you'll have to thaw that freeze, lift it, so you can get that extension of credit. They can validate that you're a good credit risk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. And I want to go back to the IRS comment, Michelle, that you had, because we got a note from Marilyn in Brown Deer. She called to thank you for having you as regular guests, or thank me for having you as regular guests, because she was able to recognize a scammer who recently called claiming she was from the IRS. Marilyn knew it was a scam because she'd heard on a previous show that the IRS doesn't call people.
Good for you, Marilyn. That's great news. And this is one of those scams that is just at epidemic proportions, and it continues to evolve. And unfortunately, there are still people who have not heard about it and fall victim. And I know the IRS is saying they're seeing a slowdown in the number of victims, so they know that all the talking about this we're doing is working. But, you know, the scam is not going to stop until people stop giving these crooks money.
Yeah, there we go. Kathleen and Delavan, turning to you next. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
It's interesting. I just got the bill, and I was thinking, I hope Larry's going to have their good stuff again. I got a bill from a provider, a medical provider, and I have Medicare. And it was essentially $500 to take a callus off my foot. And so, of course, Medicare cut it a lot. And now the doctor's, you know, clinic is saying, well, now you need to pay $190. And I had a secondary, too. But $500 for an office visit, you know, of seeing the doctor for 8 minutes, is really insane. What can I do? I mean, I was going to call them and just say, this is ridiculous, but I thought that if they had Medicare, they had to accept the terms of Medicare, and they couldn't bill you extra.
extra. Is that true?
No, I don't think that's the case.
No, I believe that there is no regulation on rate setting of procedures unless, you know, that may come through insurance or some affiliation, but no, not with this. So I suggest that you do go to them and talk to them about the bill and see if you can negotiate the price and voice your concern. If you don't get anywhere with that, you know, consumer protection can certainly assist. Again, we don't have any regulations we'd be enforcing. We'd just be trying to mediate that and see if a resolution can be found.
Yeah, you might be.
Well, is there a chart that says that I can go online and see this is how much you'd pay for an office visit?
No.
No, the thing that we would look into is if they had quoted you a rate up front and then weren't honoring that.
Oh.
So oftentimes in those situations, we encourage consumers to try and discuss the full situation and how much will this cost me in bill. But in medical, in that industry, anything can happen during a procedure as well. And so that can always change the circumstances.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. But it's still, you know, what does it cost to give them a call and talk with them and express your dissatisfaction? And, you know, if you can get $50 knocked off.
Right.
You know, it's $50.
One of the groups we work with on a regular basis is the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, and they specifically look for Medicare fraud. So she's done the right thing by carefully scrutinizing her bill, because a lot of people don't do that, and it creates opportunities for fraud to occur. So that's great that she did that.
Thanks again, Kathleen, for calling. Appreciate it. Cindy and Madison, we turn to you next. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Okay, so recently I applied for a ShopCo credit card, and it asked for a Social Security number, and it wouldn't let me not put it in. So I put it in because there was a purchase or two there that I really wanted, but I haven't heard anything from them. Do you have any comments about that?
Did you feel...
I'd be concerned.
Where did you go to get the application?
They said the only way you could do it was online. I went into the store and asked them to apply, but they said, no, you have to go online.
At this point, I would call them and follow up to see if they've received the application and if they're just processing it. I'd also run a credit report, one of your free annual ones. You get 3 per year, and check that to see if the credit shows up. You want to make sure that you haven't just not gotten the card, or that they actually received the application and that you weren't on an imposter website that was a lookalike and they were just taking information that way.
Right. Okay. I'm trying to remember.
How long has it been?
It's been a couple weeks now.
They could very well just be processing, and hopefully the card's in the mail, but I would then definitely call.
Mm-hmm. So that, are you saying that's not unusual to ask, I mean, for Social Security number to process credit?
If you are asking for an extension of credit, a new credit card, going after a loan, maybe even getting utility services or cable satellite, they often ask for Social Security number almost 100% of the time, because they then have to check your credit worthiness and make sure that they are going to be giving you that credit, and then at what interest rate they're willing to take the risk out with you. So that is very common.
Yeah.
Okay. And can you just, I've heard it a lot of times, but I haven't really taken note of it. Can you give me one place where I could go to get a free copy of credit report?
Sure. We can go through that description. Sandy, you want to do that?
The easiest way to do this is to go to the website annualcreditreport.com. And make sure that you type that address into your browser, because if you do free credit report search, you'll get all kinds of other sites that will ask you to pay money or sign up for a regular monitoring service. So type annualcreditreport.com into your browser window. And just a heads up that they will ask for your Social Security number to do that free credit report.
Okay. Would it be... you think it'd be okay to do that? I don't have internet at home, so I'd either be doing it at the library or at an internet cafe. any comments about that?
I would use the phone number instead of going online, and that is 1-877-322-8228.
Wait a second. 1-877-322-8228.
Great. Okay.
And the reason why is because you don't know the security on those public computers that you're at, who may have been on it last and done anything malicious to it. And given it's a library, I'm sure they run a lot of security every day, if not hourly. But an internet cafe situation, you don't know what type of Wi-Fi situation, if there's man in the middle, imposter, public Wi-Fi is there. So those just aren't secure environments to be handing over your information.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Cindy. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. We have open lines. Get you on pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And we have lots of great things coming up here. Kathleen Dunn and her guests are going to be talking about how Bernie Sanders' candidacy has affected the Democratic Party. That'll be up at 1 o'clock today. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Join in, 800-642-1234. Again, you can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Mary in Madison up next. Mary, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello. Yes, recently I had to write to the credit bureaus, all three of them, to put a freeze on my credit card. I've never had a credit card. I've had a debit card when I was working, but so I've never had a credit card. But I put a freeze, and I got an acknowledgement from all three that the freeze was in effect. But if my credit was violated, would they have told? Are they obliged to tell me in that letter?
They may not know that you have any identity theft or any potential questions. You would need to do that evaluation yourself by getting one of the free credit reports and looking at that to make sure that it's accurate and reflects your credit history.
Mm-hmm.
So that it only shows that one debit card that you had, assuming it was within the last 10 years or so, mm-hmm. and that you get utility services from someplace and that your address is accurate. That's what the examination you'd want to do on the report you get. But when you place a freeze, that's a different thing that you're doing, and they don't do an evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Mike in Green Bay, on to you now. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I have a question for you. I was on my laptop the other day, and I got a pop-up across my screen, and a buzzer sounded, and it said that you have been hacked. And it said contact, I think it was your Microsoft support service, and it gave me a phone number because I couldn't do anything. I unplugged the computer, restarted everything, and it was still buzzing. So I contacted them, and they wanted my email address and my name, which I gave them because at that point I couldn't do anything. And then they went through a bunch of things, and they said that I needed to clean my computer, and I should bring it to a Best Buy, and they could do it for $300, or they could do it remotely for $200 and save me the trip. Is that a scam, or what's the deal with that?
Ransomware.
Wow.
That's just exactly what we were talking about earlier in the show.
This Microsoft tech support scam is something we've talked a lot about in the past, and quite frequently it's a call to your home saying, I'm from Microsoft and there's a terrible problem with your computer, you need to act now. But more recently, we've seen these pop-ups, and your computer has been infected somehow. Maybe you clicked a link in an email you received, or you went to a website that was questionable. But
your computer is infected, and you should, I think it's a good idea to take it to a Best Buy or somewhere similar to make sure that they do a deep cleanse of your system and get rid of any kind of residual files that may be there. But we recommend having a good security software program running on your computer or on your device, whichever you have, and turn the pop-up blocker on. So you don't get any pop-ups, because there's been a real increase in those.
And it's amazing. You know, I get emails that are like supposedly from friends, and there won't be anything except a someplace for me to click. Well, you know, I never click on those.
Yeah. Right. And that's called social engineering. And, you know, sometimes those emails that look like they're from your friends will say, here we are in Florida, you know, click on the attachment or take a look at this, you won't believe it, and take you to a link. And that's how malicious software ends up on your computer.
Yeah.
So why would they tell me to go to Best Buy and have it cleaned?
When I did
tell them, you know, with just my email and my name, and they went through, and they did take the alarm off, everything worked fine after that. It was very strange that way.
That's part of the deal. See, theirs was $100 less than you're going to Best Buy, where you're going to have to take your time, your effort, give up your device, and then pay more money versus we'll just do it now and cleanse. So that's part of the technique that they're using.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Thank you. Helen in Cottage Grove has something for us. Hi, Helen. Thanks for calling.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for your show always, mm-hmm. and for the one today. The consumer folks help
sure.
us a lot. I'm talking about actually a snail mail thing that I got, mm-hmm. and it looked really good, and I thought I saved it to talk to you about, but I can't find it now. But the gist of it is they're saying, oh, you have 9 free stamps. We're going to give you these stamps, and use this code, and you can print them any place. And, oh, that sounds pretty good, because I do mail things. But if, please caution other seniors out there like I am to read the fine print, because what you're really doing is signing up for a monthly fee. I think it was around $16 that they would be able to access and just take from you, no matter what you said, until you somehow got a hold of them and canceled. There's no free stamp, just like no free lunch.
Yeah. Wow. Is that one that you've heard about, Michelle?
Well, not the stamp, but all variations of that. That's one of the foundational consumer protection kind of scams, especially when it came by mail. Mm-hmm. You know, get this free. But then you have to sign up for a subscription to something, or you don't even realize you're signing up for a subscription. So watch the word free. That whole, if it's too good to be true, you don't have to pay for anything. Join a subscription if it's really free. It's just in the cost. So that fine print, good job, Helen. That's exactly the perfect message to pass along to friends.
Okay, great. Well, thanks again for your help.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Postage stamps reminded me just of the, what are they, the ones that you can always never change or whatever, regardless of the price goes up for
postage. The forever stamps.
Forever stamps, that's what I was trying to say. The forever stamps, there are some really cool ones now from Barnum & Bailey Circus.
Oh.
They're really cool, and I usually buy forever stamps, and I actually have had comments from people after they got my letter from me and said, where'd you get that? Those stamps are really cool. Anyway, that has nothing at all to do with the show. So let's get back to what we do have going with the show. Other than Larry and his forever stamps, let's go to Ron in Edgerton next. Ron, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, appreciate the call. What can we do for you?
Well, I had heard that lady call in about the Medicare situation, and I work in this industry, and just want to clarify some things. First of all, Medicare does dramatically cut back what they approve doctors. A hip replacement, the surgeon might get $1,600. Heart bypass, about $1,800. That's it. That's part of the problem. What they lose on medical, on these government programs, gets shifted to the rest of the population. Now, most doctors accept that as that's all they get. If they don't, they're not allowed to charge more than 15% over the Medicare-approved amount by law. That's called the excess charge. And you can find all the information. There's thousands of CPT codes, and it's on the CMS, Center for Medicaid Services, website. So I highly doubt that this lady would owe a podiatrist $500 after Medicare. She shouldn't be responsible for that and really needs to look into what's going on.
Well, that's great information. And the CMS, do you know, happen to know the site? We can look it up, but...
No, I don't. But if you just Google Center for Medicaid Services,
oh, okay.
Medicare, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, it'll come up real quickly. The thing is, it all goes by CPT codes, like an office call of 15 minutes. I don't know what the number is, but it's going to be under $100, like $56. But every single procedure that's done has its own CPT code, and then they give the Medicare-approved amounts for it. An MRI of the brain is like $57. It's all Medicare approved.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. That's really good information, Ron. I appreciate it very much.
Okay. Have a good day.
Yep, you as well. All right, some great information. So the Center for Medicare...
Services.
That's the one. That's the S, services. The place to look for that information. Joe and Franklin up next. Hi, Joe. Oops, let's see. Let's get you on here. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I just heard the call from the fellow who had that message pop up where it said it was from Time Warner and Microsoft, and you need to call this number. And as your guest pointed out, it's a scam. Now, what I did, first I called Time Warner. They said, yes, it's a scam. Then I did. They gave me a number from Microsoft. I called them. Well, Microsoft could take care of it. I mean, it's a legitimate number for Microsoft, but they would have to charge me for it. But what I have a security. I've got Norton Security. There's Norton. There's McAfee. McAfee, exactly. I just called Norton, and I pay, it's less than, I think it's around $80 a year, and they took care of it. You know, I turned my computer over to them, and they got rid of that, and now everything's running great. I don't know what it would cost to take it to, like, Best Buy to have them fix it, but you're not going to have the computer for a while. So yeah. I really recommend having some kind of security system like that on your computer.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly that's good advice, and probably more than one security system sometimes.
Yeah, you just not having a security system, some kind of software loaded onto your computer is like leaving your front door open at night. You just cannot do that anymore.
Like I say, that guy who called in, if he's got Norton or McAfee, call their 800 number, and they'll take care of it for him. And if you're paying for the service already, they don't charge you anything.
Yeah, well, makes sense. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Sue emailed us and wants us to repeat the phone number for the annual credit report. And I have 1-877-322-8228. Is that right, Michelle?
That's correct.
So it's 1-877-322-8228. And Jill Nadeau can probably put that up on our Facebook page as well, so we have that. And your number, if somebody wants to get a hold of you guys and maybe file a complaint or request a form, what's that number?
Our consumer hotline number is 1-800-422-7128. And I'll say it again, 1-800-422-7128. Our website address is datcp.com
www.wi.gov, and you can file a complaint online if you'd rather do that. It's a lot easier than, you know, calling and waiting for the complaint form to be mailed back. It makes it easier for us as well. But we have that consumer hotline number staffed during regular office hours, and if you call in the evening, that's fine. We'll get back to you the next day.
There we go. Thank you so much for that information. Irene and Slinger up next. Hi, Irene.
Hi, good morning. I wonder if they're familiar with the call that I've been receiving. Now, this morning I just received it again. It's the third day in a row. I'm sure it's a scam, but they always say, this call is for Ann Rue. If you are not Ann Rue, then hang up. And then they say, we are holding a claim in your... I listened one day just to see what else they said. And then they said, we are holding a claim in your name and the number is, and then they go on and then they give the telephone number and that. I mean, I've never done anything. I just hang up. But I've had it a couple months ago, and it was like every day for a whole week. And I wonder if I haven't heard anyone else say anything about that.
Yeah, so if your name is, and it's not your name, obviously.
No, it's not my name.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that specific one, but I can guess the variation that they'll do. You respond, I'm not Ann. Well, who are you? Let's check to see if there's a claim for you, and then they'll proceed, and for X dollars, we'll process this claim and get this free something for you. The claim stuff typically is like... funds that have been kind of abandoned in your name, unclaimed funds that you can check for yourself through the different state governments. It's when your money hasn't been accessed for X number of years and they have to turn it over. So that you can do yourself in the state of Wisconsin, and you could call our 800 number and we can give you the phone number and the website as to how to do that and check it for your own name. But that sounds like where that telemarketing issue would go.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't, you know, listen or do anything about it, but it gets a little disgusting every day you answer and it's the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Irene. I'm glad you didn't call or do anything about it. Brian and Madison up next. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I've got a quick question. A woman hit my car, and everything's fine now. It's all fixed. And it wasn't my fault, but her insurance agent called me. We had a long conversation, and she wanted my Social Security number. So I gave it to her. Pretty stupid, I think, over the phone to give out a Social Security number. Why would an insurance agent from the woman's company, she hit my car, want my SSN?
Yeah, that's not...
And if I made a terrible mistake...
What should you do about it?
Getting it out over the phone.
You'd think they'd want a driver's license number if they were going to get anything, but I don't
know. The officer, that's all in the accident report.
So, boy, I fear some potential, at least, Sandy, for problems.
I can just think of a lot of things that may have happened here. It would be a very good idea for you to review your credit report and place a credit freeze on your credit report, as we've been discussing during the show. It's hard to think of any reason why they would need your Social Security number.
So this person might have somehow gotten the information.
The accident report and used that as a way to get information from you fraudulently.
The thing I am considering as well is if you know the company that agent worked for, going to that, making a call to that headquarters and asking some information. You know, this agent asked for this. Why is that? Is this your practice? What's its purpose? How is it being held? So you can at least be more comfortable that it was a legitimate reason for asking for it. But as Sandy has said, practice wise, we can't think of any reason why they would need it. And giving that number out over the phone is one of the things we discourage regularly to do. Know who you're giving it to and why you're handing it over, and make sure you initiate that contact.
Yeah, there we go. So okay, get on.
That's what I needed to hear. I'll follow up on it. I just wanted to know if any of you thought it was legitimate or not, and apparently it's not.
It may well not be, but you'll be able to find out pretty quickly if you call, you know, whoever the agency, you know, if it's American Family or whatever it is, call that agent or call that company. And if hopefully you kept the name of the agent that you talk with on the phone, and they'll tell you in 10 seconds probably whether or not that's even an agent for them. So good luck, Brian. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Marianne in Hurdle, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just had one comment. I got that same Microsoft message. You cannot click out of it, and it won't allow you to close it up. And what I did was to reset the computer to the day before, and then I went and did a Malwarebytes free program. They found 344 items. And I deleted them all, and I haven't had any problems since.
Oh, that's a great, great approach to handling it. So reset your computer to the previous day. You got
a
fresh start.
And then run a scan.
And then run, yeah, yep. Thank you, Marianne.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate it. That's something pretty much anybody can do pretty quickly.
That's right, and that's one of the pieces that we've looked at research-wise is that maybe through your task manager, if you Control-Alt-Delete, you can get out of the pop-up in some Windows situations that way, and then don't restore to the current day. Restore to the previous day's session or the previous session. You want to stay away from what you were just in. You know, you want to get to that day before it all happened.
Thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. Taking a look at consumer protection issues today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Consumer protection issues today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. I'm Larry Mueller, and I'm really great to have them stop by. They come by once a month or so, and we always have lots of business. Unfortunately, I think they'd probably prefer not to have any problems to deal with, but that's not the way it works these days, is it? Rivka in Appleton has a problem.
Hi.
Thanks for calling.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Most of the time I'm driving and I can't get the number. And yay, this time I stopped on the side and I got your number so I can call you.
Good.
My question is, it's a little bit different. We recently moved from New Jersey and I went here to a chiropractor for a consultation first. He didn't start treating me yet. And I had to give him a lot of information. The part that bothered me, he wanted my Social Security and my full birthday. That means my total identity. I don't remember ever giving these two numbers to any doctor in New York and New Jersey. Is this the rule here? You give you both your Social Security number and your birthday to a doctor?
Are you on Medicare?
Yes.
Okay, well, your Medicare number is your Social Security number. So that's probably what they were asking for. But I think you're on
why
to some...
Why my birthday?
Why your birthday?
To verify that, they need that for as part of your health history, I think, your age, and to verify that you're of Medicare age. But, you know, so often you fill out a paper form at your doctor's office, which is then entered into the computer system, you know, and it's not a bad idea to ask, how are you storing my Social Security number and date of birth, and how long are you storing it, and how are you keeping it safe? Because we have seen some data breaches involving medical healthcare facilities.
So, that's scary, because what if I decide not, if I'm not happy with him and I decide not to go to him? He has all this important, these two facts that...
Yeah.
You know, this is my identity.
Yeah.
So I should ask him, is there a way? And if they tell me that they can, they will delete it, let's say, in 5 months or whatever, should I believe them? It's so scary.
Yeah.
Well, I think when you're shopping for a doctor, which is what this one sounds like it was, I'd ask up front, do we need to fill out this part of the paperwork yet? Because I haven't decided. Is it a free consultation? Is it a paid, maybe offer to pay in cash until you decide that it's something you're going to be claiming against your insurance? So different approaches to when you're shopping for the doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, this, I didn't think about it. I was so stupid, naive. But then after this, I said, wait a minute, you gave him those two important information. So there's nothing I can do about it now, right?
Other than ask those questions that you thought about, how long will they keep it? If I don't follow through, will you shred this or delete it?
Yeah, yeah. And you certainly have every right to ask those questions, and he should have answers, he or she.
Right. And if you decide not to use that chiropractor going forward, then ask them, call them and ask them to delete your information from their system, if they can do that under law, and to shred all the documents that you provided to them.
Yeah. There we go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I'm going to give some others a chance to join us here. Joan and Rudolph up next with something for us. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I was calling about the gentleman that called about the car accident and the insurance company.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to me, but they, you know, I never really connected with the insurance person because, one, you have your own insurance agent that you should be speaking with, and then the insurance agents should speak to one another. Typically, probably what they want to do is talk to you so then they can adjust whoever the percentages on fault issues or get your side of the story, which they shouldn't be really asking. You just talk to your own agent, and then that agent should contact the other agent and work it out. That's typically the way it works. You are not obligated to speak to that other person's insurance agent.
Oh. Joan, thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. That makes some sense, Sandy.
It's probably pretty good advice, and we're not experts in the insurance world, but I've been in an accident myself, and our insurance agent told us not to talk to the other person's insurance agent, so I think she's on to something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. Thanks, Joan, for calling. I think I had the same situation. My agent said don't talk to the other.
Right.
And it all went away eventually, one way or another. I don't remember exactly how, but thanks, Joan. Dan in Hartford, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm a retired IT guy, and I just wanted to recommend for some of these people to use a Chromebook or a Chromebox to get on the Internet. If you think you got a virus, you turn the switch on and off, and the problem's solved. And you don't even have a hard drive to worry about or any of the other stuff.
So if you're using a Chromebook?
Chromebook or Chromebox?
Chromebox. There you go. Another way to do it. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. And let's turn to Tim in Sun Prairie. Tim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I've heard quite a few people calling in regards to the Microsoft scam. Being an IT professional for 18 years focusing on Windows, I thought I could provide just a little bit more information that might be helpful.
Okay.
Specifically, when you do experience some sort of malware like this, if you do feel like you've ever clicked on it and that it's actually taken a hold, it could be an email attachment, it could be a web page. Of course, there are self-help methods that you could take, like your antivirus program, scanning it, anti-malware such as Malwarebytes, both excellent tools.
Yeah.
It is normally the suggestion, though, that just one scanning method is not enough. So it's normally recommended you try two. So if you do scan with Norton, that's great. Also scan with Malwarebytes. And one's free, which is great for home use.
Yeah.
That way you have a little more security or a little more confidence in the system that you've actually cleaned it. The real nefarious aspect of this Microsoft scam is that if you do actually call the number, the people on the other end actually ask to get remote access into your PC. And if you give somebody that level of access to your machine, I highly recommend that, obviously, you disconnect from the Internet, actually even go so far as to completely wipe and reload the computer. And the reason why is when a hacker breaches your system to that level, they can do so many things. They could open up ports. They can put in Trojans. They can mess with your antivirus so it looks like it's working, but it's not. As well as, in this case, they oftentimes go in there and data mine. So they'll go onto your computer and see that maybe you've done your taxes, steal all your tax PDFs or files or tax preparation documents that has all of your personal information, as well as banking. If you do any banking on your computer, all of those things mean that you have to take precautions after a breach, and you have to potentially go and cancel credit cards, contact your credit agencies and put watches on. There's a number of things that you may want to do with your bank. You might want to change your credit card numbers, change your account numbers, so they don't somehow breach those areas. So,
yeah. All right. Lots of good information there. Tim, thanks. And Sandy, you're pretty much right at
target. That's great advice. And we've talked a lot about tax ID theft and how it's absolutely exploded. And people wonder, well, how did they get my information to commit ID theft against me and steal my tax return? Well, this is one of the ways. And it can be very tricky trying to identify the legitimate company from the scammer.
And thanks again, Tim, for calling. I appreciate your call very much. Lauren emailed to say he recently purchased a new car and the dealership ran his credit report. The day they went to pick the new car up, he took his son along with him. The son tried to apply for credit to get a car, was denied. They asked him if he'd co-sign, and he said he thought we would. They ran our credit report again and with a different bank. This dropped our credit score drastically. He didn't give them permission to run his credit as a cosigner. Is there anything he can do? So that one may require a little thought.
It does, because it dealt with two parts of the auto purchase. I'm not sure if he should go to the Department of Transportation regarding any regulations that dealers have, or if it's the Department of Financial Institutions, because it was probably the financial part of the dealership that dealt with the transaction. My guess is the Department of Financial Institutions and what regulations are in place there.
Yeah, and running the credit report with eight different banks, that's going to automatically drop your credit report because there's so many requests for...
Right. And their requests, they're not just like trigger leads. They're things that impact the credit score. So I think those actions there and any regulations that exist would likely be with the Department of Financial Institutions.
Joanne in Westfield up next. Hi, Joanne. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What can we do for you? Yeah, go ahead.
Last fall, we experienced a situation, and we never really, I guess, properly handled it because we didn't really know how. And the situation was we were out, actually my husband and I were out of the state on a vacation, and I received a phone call on my personal cell phone from this company who was trying to reach my husband. And at the time he was driving, and I, you know, asked him questions, and they started to tell me that he had taken out a cash advance loan, and it was deposited into our Associated Bank account, and that afterwards he closed the account, and that they were coming after him for the amount of the loan plus interest, and it was like something like $1,800. But if we paid today, we could settle it for $600. And then they started to say that not only were they, you know, coming after him for the money, but they were also going to charge him with fraud because of, you know, taking out this loan and then closing the bank account. And we were out of town, and I got as much information as I could from them, but they weren't giving any information. And I kept saying, I've never received anything in the mail. I don't know what you're talking about. It was really confusing. And they kept calling day after day. They called my daughter on her cell phone. They called our home phone. They told my daughter that her dad was going to prison, that he was going to be charged with fraud. And it was just really ridiculous. And the company was based out of Florida, but when their phone number kept coming up, it kept coming up as different numbers in Wisconsin, so like the 920 area code and 262 and stuff like that. When I finally got back home, first thing I realized was that we had closed our Associated Bank account in 2003. So when I came back to them and told them that, you know, they just kept trying to, then they backtracked the date and said, oh, it was from, you know, 2003, really, they made a mistake. And I said, well, then what is the limitations on, you know, on having a debt like this? Can you give me the original paperwork from the debt? You know, any of this stuff. And I tried to get information from them. And then the next week when I was calling back because they said they were going to mail some stuff, they never mailed anything. And then all of the numbers that I had for them were nothing. They were just blank. So how do you even file a complaint with a company like that when
it's
non-existent?
Well, they were just scamming you, trying to scam you, Sandy.
And we've heard quite a bit about these phony debt collection agencies that can be extremely aggressive and threatening, and they're obviously trying to get you to pay quickly to get them off your back. You can file a complaint with us, and any information you have about them, names, phone number, if you can get that off your caller ID, any information about what they said, that would help us track them down and potentially take action. There has been a problem with these phony debt collectors.
Larry Mueller here, taking a look at consumer protection issues today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. Sandy is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade and Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within DACCAP, and they come by once a month to talk with us about scams, and plenty to talk about every single time. If you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share, join in at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And just to go back to the call prior to our news break, that particular caller had the scam there was a pretty common scam, and she probably should have just hung up.
Right. And sometimes it's difficult to trust yourself to do that when somebody says you have this debt you owe, and they told her it went back to 2003, and so she felt like she needed to do her research first. But in the meantime, they got very threatening and told her they were going to put her in jail and threatening their daughter. So it's always best if you suspect that you're hearing from a scam artist, just don't engage, because that if you try to talk to them, it just encourages them.
It makes it worse. Jay in Fall River emailed to ask about commercials that claim his credit cards have an RFID chip in them that allows thieves to remotely steal personal IDs. They then sell a data protection wallet that shields your credit cards from such attacks. He says it sounds bogus to him. What's the real story?
Well, there are these wallets out there. So last October, all the credit card companies went to the chip and PIN technology. Not everyone has it out there yet, but there's the movement. And it is a means of making sure that your transactions are more secure, because the chip is a unique identifier for each and every transaction, as opposed to the old mag swipe on the back, the strip there. And there are ways. Before, you had skimmers that could lift the information off the strip.
Yeah.
Now there's the readers that could electronically potentially read this chip, but the proximity that you have to be and the right type of reader is very complicated. So, there are technologies that people will always try and sell something to protect you from the other technology.
Yeah.
We don't have any means of knowing if it'll protect against your credit card if you need it, what level that it protects against. I mean, always be cautious about those things and what they're telling you, and how much are you willing to spend for that layer of protection?
Because the chips, the whole purpose of these chips is to make things a whole lot safer for you, right?
Absolutely, because it will change for every transaction when you're using the chip part of the credit card to purchase.
So this may not be a scam, but it's just something that, you know, like, you don't really need, probably.
probably don't need the wallet. They sell them in Europe. They sell them here when the chips started coming as a means of protecting against these readers. But we haven't seen this rash of reports that there's people out there with the readers lifting information off the cards either.
So kind of like suspenders on a belt.
Possibly.
Kind of. Audrey in Milwaukee, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I own a business in Kenosha, and I have a competitor that has purchased my business name under two different domain names. And I know it's illegal for them to direct this to their website, which they have been doing. And I don't really know which way to turn because I've talked to the FBI, the DOJ, the local police department, four IP lawyers, and they all say it's illegal for them to send to take my name, to have people look me up on the internet, take my name, and to direct it to their business because we're in the same type of business. But I keep on getting shuffled around, and I'm trying to find someone that could kind of help me as far as getting my getting the names back or to stop them from using my names to direct them to their site.
Huh. Well, that's a nasty little thing to do.
Have you talked with a private attorney about taking action on behalf of your business to do a cease and desist?
We've actually went through the domain, like the network solutions, and we are possibly going to have to go through ICAM because network solutions said that they require ICAM's decision before they will do anything for the fact that this business purchased the privacy portion of Network Solution, where it's, if you look it up on Who's Who, it just shows that it's pointed to privacy. I forget what it is. It's through Network Solutions, but it's where it will not show who actually physically owns the name. But we have looked it up before they actually purchased the privacy portion of it, and we have printouts showing who owns the names. They are our federal and state trademark names that they are using. Oh. And I know they are in violation of the federal, the trademark policy.
Laws. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Audrey, this is really very complicated, and I need a few books in front of me to help with this one because I have some references and resources. So could I ask you to call our 800 number and ask to leave a message for me where you'll leave your phone number, and I'll get back to you either this afternoon or tomorrow morning, and we can talk a little bit more deeply about the specifics than I think this platform allows.
Okay.
So 1-800-422-7128. And when you connect with someone, just ask for, you want to leave a message for Michelle, and then leave your information, and I can get back to you.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. That's a complex one. Sounds like she's got a good couple of good legs to stand on, though, for it. Doris in Greendale, your turn. Hi, Doris. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for this valuable program to you and your guest and the IT man who called. He gave wonderful information. Do you know anything about Tech Live Solutions, LLC, in California? I think I was a victim of a scam.
Tech Line? I mean, the name is familiar. Tech Line Solutions.
Did they call you or what happened?
My computer crashed and I got the pop-up number, call this 800 number, and I thought, because I was trying to access Google, and they kept saying I had an invalid password, so obviously I kept putting in my correct password. And then I got the 800 number, and I called it thinking it was Google, and they said that I recognized the voice from India. And he said, well, we have an office in our headquarters in California, and that I was a victim of a virus, and that for a certain amount of money, which was, I thought, a lot, they would fix my computer. And I called my son-in-law, who is my IT helper, and he was out of the state, but he said he would take me to the Apple store and get it fixed. But being 86, I want to be independent, so I went ahead with the 800 number. now they have access to everything on my computer, and yeah. they even put an icon on my screen. I can call them anytime I want, and I paid $400 for a year of consulting and care, and they cashed my check. And my question to you is, should I change my checking account? I notified the bank, and I asked them to take everything out of the checking account except to cover that check. And I'm wondering if I should just go and close that account and
open a new one.
Open a new checking account.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of sad. We've been talking about this kind of throughout the show, Doris, and I'm afraid you probably spent some money there that you really didn't need to spend. And I think you're, Sandy, probably a good idea to close that account.
Yeah, and please, everybody know that this scam is targeting seniors. So if you're a senior citizen and you own a computer, you can kind of expect a call or, you know, some attack upon your computer or your network. I think the best thing to do would be to carry your computer to an Apple store or where the Apple support people are. And yes, you should call your bank and let them know that you may be the victim of identity theft and follow their advice. If you've done any banking or if you filed your taxes online, that's another thing that you may want to look at. And we gave information earlier about how to check your credit report. That's something else that you should do to make sure that there are no new accounts opened in your name.
Yeah.
And at this point, because of that, use the phone number rather than your computer to do that check. Do a call rather than going online to get the credit report.
Probably want to unplug from the online.
Right. At this point, until you can get it scanned and everything.
Yeah.
I think one of the things to leave everyone with, because it can hit everybody so well, is make sure that you are regularly scanning your computer, that you're updating your software, that you're renewing it, because there's subscriptions that expire and you forget to renew it. And that before sessions where you're going to be doing secure information, especially that personal information, scan it. Make sure that your computer hasn't picked up any of these viruses or malware, and that people aren't monitoring and you won't get a pop-up during your session.
Yeah, something else to consider too. You can configure your security software in different ways. And so often we do a frequent quick scan, but we forget to do the deep scan. You should be doing the deep scan on a regular basis. And I'm thinking maybe even daily, you know, while you're asleep in bed, have your computer doing that deep scan every night.
And Doris, good luck. And thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call very much. And please do follow up. Please do follow up. I want to give others a chance to join us. Julie in Lake Geneva has a suggestion for us, so let's go there. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Larry. Yes, to find the most up-to-date current Medicare information, Medicaid information, is to contact your local Aging and Disability Resource Center in the state. And the Elder Benefit Specialist Program works with people age 60 and over on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security information, Medicare appeals and denials. That if people have questions, we are the go-to people in the state. And they put at least one of us in every county so that we're there to be an advocate. And we also do work with consumer protection also.
So state has one in every an elder benefit specialist in every county.
Correct.
You're saying.
Yes. It's funded partially by the Older Americans Act funds.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're there to be an advocate. We're trained really heavily. We have legal backup that works with us. When the state put aside Older Americans Act funds, they wanted legal representation for seniors in benefits. And so a lot of times we are explaining to people what Medicare covers, what it doesn't cover, what the insurance issues are, Medicare Part D, just a variety of topics that seniors deal with.
Yeah, it's good. Thank you so much, Julie, for calling.
You're welcome.
Yeah, maybe sometime we should just, I should just do, I haven't done this in a long, long time. I've just had a show on Medicare. Had somebody from the office or maybe somebody like Julie on to just answer questions for 45 minutes or an hour or whatever.
I think just about everybody needs help understanding Medicare.
Yeah.
So that's a great service.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Katie on Facebook says she uses a personal hotspot for her computer internet access. Is this more secure, a more secure connection? I'm not... A personal hotspot?
Yeah, sometimes they're called MiFi. She should make sure that it's password protected at the very least.
I would think. Diane in Wauwatosa recommends Nomo Robo. She says she gets that from Time Warner. It stops robocalls. It's free to Time Warner landline customers.
Yeah, Nomo Robo is the result of an FTC competition to see who could help combat all these telemarketers and block the calls for the ones who weren't honoring the do not call lists. And it works for voice over internet protocol. So Time Warner, she mentioned, a Charter, a non-landline, a non-cellular phone is what it will block. There are different types of services that you can purchase through machine technology for landlines. You can block through your carrier or your phone for cell phones if you have a smartphone. But Nomo Robo is limited to those voice over internet protocol VoIP phone lines.
Jackie from Barneveld called to suggest family members have a, what she calls a safe word or a question to identify each other in case of phone calls that say they're relatives. And we've talked about this scam in the past. Her mother, who can't see well, actually had someone come to her door and say he was her great-grandson and ask for money.
Oh, boy. I hope that was reported to local law enforcement.
Yeah, but it's not a bad idea. You kind of have those questions, for some of your online things, too, if you're...
Yeah, we usually hear about that scam connected to phone calls, and the safe word or a code word is a great tool you can use if you think your elderly loved one can remember the safe word.
Yeah, that's
I'm not sure I could.
That's the other problem. We, as someone was asking, and we've mentioned this quite a few times, but let's do it again on the free credit report. Where do we go for the free credit report?
For the free credit report, the website is annualcreditreport.com. And annual credit report is all one word. And the phone number you can use is 1-877-322-8228.
877-322-8228. And as long as we're on the numbers, your number is an 800 number for filing a complaint with the Consumer Protection, as I have it, is 800-422-7128.
That's right.
So we've got those numbers. And then, of course, online, datcp.wi.gov gets you to the website, which is probably the easiest way to do it anyway.
Sure. There's lots of great information available on our website.
Peter in Stoughton called to say he's removed ransomware successfully a number of times. He uses something called Hitman Pro. Hitman Pro, they have a free 30-day trial. So if you have that ransomware issue, Hitman Pro might be a place to go. For that information. There's a couple of other scams. We're just kind of running out of time here, but I know the mystery shoppers scam is running in Wisconsin right now, isn't it, Sandy?
Yeah, that's something we've been hearing a lot from people about. And specifically, we've heard from people who have gotten text messages asking whether they would be willing to be a mystery shopper for, a well-known retailer. And in the one I heard about, they wanted to send this person a cashier's check, and you deposit the money and then send the balance back. And we all know about that old fake check scam where you're left holding the bag on the value of that check you cashed.
So that's not a good one. I think, you know, your comment earlier about older residents, I mean, it seems that they're high on the target list.
Well, if you're a senior and you feel like you're being targeted, it's because you are being targeted. And there are a lot of scams out there that are ongoing involving Medicare cards, medical devices. We've heard from people who say they've gotten a robocall telling them to expect delivery of one of those Lifeline devices where you call, it's a medical alert device. And then they ask for money for the ongoing subscription. Well, there is no device in the mail, so that's an obvious scam.
And once more, Roxanne wondered about, again, freezing her credit, and how do you just do that? And there's some costs associated with it.
There is. To freeze your credit, it's $10 with each of the three credit reporting agencies. And then if you need to thaw it or lift that freeze, there's that $10 transactional fee as well. But you need to contact each of the three credit reporting agencies individually. They each have their own process and method for putting the freeze in place and what information they need from you. Be prepared to give your Social Security number, same as getting your free credit report. You need to give that identifier and your information. When you put the freeze on, you'll have to pay, so be prepared to give a credit card number or a form of payment as well. Follow that process, and you can get that freeze on. They have a period of time to put the freeze on. They'll mail you a password, a PIN, because to lift it, to put the thaw on, you have to use that as well. And you can put it on for your children. So children don't have credit or shouldn't have credit in place. And the best way to protect them from an identity theft, because they love clean credit, is to put a freeze on. They create an account for them and then lock it down right away when you ask to put a freeze on for a minor or a vulnerable individual.
Now, that's a very good idea, because it's under their names, whoever checks, you know, you don't even think about that. And that's obviously a way that crooks can get in there and really create some problems. Well, as always, man, we covered a whole bunch of things here, and I'm so glad you were able to come by, and you'll be back in about a month, I hope, and we'll do this all over again.
Sounds great.
Thanks so much. We have been visiting with our two consumer experts, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And guess what? They'll be back in about a month, and we'll do it all over again. Their number again to file a complaint, 1-800-422-7128.